bring them out, but I thought you were going to say, hey, let's bring some people out.
Oh, hey, let's bring some people out.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, you guys, I'm sorry I'm a little delirious, but we were literally shooting the movie.
Backstage.
Okay. Yeah.
They were backstage shooting the movie.
I was like, cut. Okay, run out on stage.
Let's get them out here, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Affleck.
Woo.
Gal Gadot. Ray Fisher. Ezra Miller. And Jason Momoa. Ladies and gentlemen, the Justice League.
Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson, and what you just heard right there was a little bit of what went down at San Diego Comic-Con last week. Just ended on Sunday, and this was the first time in a long time that I didn't go. So that was, well, that wasn't new to me. I've heard it before, obviously. I have to cut this audio myself. But yeah, this is, I did not get to actually, you know, experience anything from Comic-Con this year. So I've been taking it in like everybody else, man. Whatever is available online, I've been checking out. And what you just heard was Zack Snyder introducing the cast of Justice League. Henry Cavill came out about a minute or two later. So don't worry, Superman is there. And from what I could tell, this was... Well, maybe it's because I'm, you know, I was a thousand miles away, but it seemed like an underwhelming Comic-Con. Now, the reason why I took it off was because, you know, it was I was just really busy. I was like, okay, there's no way I can do this this year. But Saturday, which is the big day at Comic-Con, was still just as hectic as ever. Over at PunchDrunkCritics.com, you know, I was still covering all the news that went down, and it was crazy how much was going on that day. But I still felt like there's nothing really here that I didn't already sort of know. Now, granted, they dropped a couple trailers that we're going to talk about with my friend Brandon Troy of Real Film News, who was there. We'll talk about that stuff with him. So they did drop some trailers, but you know, everybody got that. So, you know, there wasn't, you didn't get that feeling of, oh, this is really unique, this is really special. Now, I know they put some stuff on out there in Hall H that we didn't get to see, and I'll ask Brandon about that stuff, and if it was, you know, really that big of a deal. Was there anything that was revealed in there that we didn't get to see through the trailers or footage? So we'll find out about that when he comes on in just a minute or two. I want to take a moment to thank everybody for the last couple of weeks. You know, the show has been doing great since I brought it back about 2 months ago. Man, it's been about 2 months already. Damn it, time goes fast. But you guys really responded to the Lucha Mexico interview that I did with the directors of that film, that wrestling film. It has all my wrestling heads getting up in that, which is cool. And last week's Ghostbusters show really did well. And I want to thank Kristen Lopez for coming in to join me to talk about that. I love having her on. And I love all of you for checking that out. That episode's doing really well also. So thank you again. I've been really, really pleased by the support you guys have given the show since I brought it back. But it ain't, you know, I shouldn't be surprised. You guys kept asking me to bring it back when I went on hiatus for what was almost 2 years. It was an unexpected hiatus, too. But I brought it back, and you guys have responded really well, and I appreciate that. I love doing Cinema Royale, and you guys are the reason why. So thank you for all the support. It's been fantastic. But let's enough of that crap. Let's talk about Comic-Con. And as I said before, I'm bringing in my friend Brandon Troy of Real Film News, who I know was there. Brandon, how are you doing, man?
What up? I'm good.
What's up? What's up, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. What's going on?
What's up, man? I brought you in here to talk about Comic-Con, man. I didn't go this year, so I gotta live through you.
Seriously, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I felt like if I was gonna get 2 hours of sleep a day, then I'd rather do it in my own bed this year. I was like, skip it. But what I was just saying a minute ago was that, you know, just because I wasn't there, it's still a hectic, you know, few days over at Punch Drunk Critics, you know, because we're trying to cover everything. And Saturday, which is the sort of the biggest day at Comic-Con, there was a lot of shit that went down. And we'll talk about all that stuff. We'll start off talking about the Warner Brothers panel, which I know you were at, and then we'll talk about the Marvel stuff afterwards. But sort of give me your general overview of how things went. Did you spend 20 hours in line again, like we usually do?
No, it was nowhere near as bad as it was. I came down with the army this time, so it was a little slightly better.
Now you can see. Okay, well, you need to bring your army again next year when I come back.
fair enough. But I would just say, like, overall, I mean, there were a couple of things that were noticeable. One thing that I would say that was is that they had more staff this time around, which is never a bad thing when you're talking about something like Comic-Con. But in the same breath, while it was nice to have, you know, additional staff and that kind of helped facilitate the lawns a lot better, I would say there still needs to be a lot more communication among the various organizations that they have that are working in terms of like security or what have you, because there were countless times there where sometimes one security organization that they had was not on the same page with the other, and it created a bit of confusion. Regardless of the fact that, you know, there was a lot of staff. So it was kind of a catch-22. You know, yeah, it was great that there was more help, but I would just say that whoever they have as their go-to person, like their Kevin Feige, so to speak, that has all the information and passes it along to everyone who's working the show, there needs to be, you know, a better, a seamless way where everyone is on the same page.
Did they use the same armband system as they did last year? Same sort of process?
Yeah, they did. It's just, but like I said, it went smoother this time around because if you remember last year, you know, there may have been one or two people, but they had actually like a group of people this time, so it actually moved
a lot
faster.
It was like five people for like 10,000 folks standing outside. So it was like, we're going to bring the badges around at 9, and you'd actually get them at like 2 in the morning.
Exactly.
But it wasn't like that this year. It went better.
Yeah. It went a lot smoother this year.
Nice. Okay. Good. They'll find a way to fuck it up next year when I come back. I'm sure. All right. So
let's say that.
I hope not. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about. Let's talk about that Warner Brothers panel, because we're going to stick to mostly the Warner Brothers and Marvel stuff here. I know there's a lot more that went on. Well, before we get to Warner Brothers, was there anything outside of Warner Brothers and Marvel that really caught your attention that you were like, wow, this looks really, really cool that you saw during those 4 days there?
I mean, they had a couple of panels of projects that have yet to get in front of cameras yet. So like things like Black Panther, you know, it was nice to see the cast come on stage, and it was nice to get a lot of confirmation that a lot of us had been, you know, pondering about, like, who's this person playing, or, you know, what stake do they have in this project, and to finally get confirmation on a lot of those things. That was pretty exciting. So I would say with Black Panther, definitely, and then with Thor. I mean, most of the Thor stuff, we had received a lot of confirmations for beforehand, but to see a lot of they actually showed some concept art, which was cool to see, you know, what things they had in store for the actual film.
Yeah. Well, let's save some of the Marvel stuff for later. Was there anything outside of Warner Brothers and Marvel that you dug that you saw?
Well, I did have an opportunity to go to the Star Trek premiere, so that was cool, the way that they had that whole shebang set up. So I guess kind of to start with that, they basically pulled all the stops. They had they just kind of similar to what happened with Star Wars last year. They had a preliminary show where they did like a light show, and they did fireworks and the whole nine, and then they had a live orchestra.
Oh, I wish they could have timed it for. I wish they could have done it right before Kevin Smith again.
Right. But to be fair, it's kind of a deja vu of that again, because he was basically plopped right after Marvel. And I mean, normally when that happens, after you have Marvel, a lot of people end up leaving anyway. But to be fair, I did stick around a little bit, and it wasn't as bad as it was last year. I mean, there's still people that stuck around, so that was I felt a little better for him than last year. But he did comment on it on the show, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, he's been commenting about it. He commented on it when he came into town for AwesomeCon. Also, he commented about it. He's been talking about it for a while, which he should, because it was one of the funniest things ever. But and one of the saddest. But yeah, he should comment about that. Did you get a chance to look at the Kong Skull Island footage? What did you think of that?
Okay. So from what I saw, I mean, I love the cast that they have, ensemble that they have put together for the film. But in terms of the trailer that they showed, honestly, I feel that they didn't really need to be there, because it didn't really show anything. And I know, again, it's a teaser, but in terms of how it was cut together, it didn't really wow me. And I felt the same way with some of the other things, like the King Arthur one that they have. It was
Nobody's talking about that King Arthur trailer.
Yeah, in terms of like the reaction that they got from audiences, it was very lukewarm. So I know down the line, I don't know if this is going into spoiler territory, but I know like that there's been talks that eventually that Kong is going to be paired up against Godzilla at some point. I know that's been talking about.
Kong vs. Godzilla is already set for it's already set for 2020, so that movie is happening.
Right. But up to this point, and until they show something else, it wasn't something that blew me away. In my opinion, it was a waste of time. I don't know if they should have come. I mean, a lot of people disagree with me. I was gonna say a lot of people probably disagree with me because they got their Tom Hiddleston comment, but. as cool as Tom Hiddleston is, don't get me wrong, it's kind of the same way that I feel about like Walking Dead or like Game of Thrones, where as much as I love those shows and I'm like a diehard fan of those shows, I feel that there should be, if you really don't have anything to show, then it's not going to hurt my feelings if you don't come, because that allows another project an opportunity to show what they have.
Right, and I hear you on that. But the problem is, if The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones don't come, and what you're talking about really, really applies to Game of Thrones, which is usually a year out every time they come to Comic-Con. We're usually a year away from the show coming back. But like in this case, they had just begun production on a new season, so I know they didn't have squat this year. Except for their usual blooper reel and a behind the scenes thing, they always bring that shit. But the problem is, if you don't have them in there, then what actually gets put in there is something like King Arthur. I guess it's not like you're gonna get something good like like some new Marvel thing. You're gonna get like that year they brought like Resident Evil and put it in there, and you're like, why is this here? You're not gonna get something awesome. You're gonna get something that's sort of filler. That's what sucks about what you're talking
but
about.
Arguably,
and I agree with you, but
but I'm saying arguably Walking Dead and Game of Thrones end up being filler too, because even when they have like the actual Q&A, they're so tight-lipped about what they can say about the upcoming season that you're like, okay, what's the point?
Yeah,
especially
they can't answer any questions.
Yeah, and I feel bad for those folks that are waiting hours and hours in line just to get into that panel, only for them not to really do anything.
Yeah. Now, the good thing about those shows in particular, though, is that they have big casts, fun casts that like to talk with their fans and interact. So that's what people show up for, or anything else. I mean, everybody knows, or at least I hope they know, when they go up there and ask, who's going to get hit with the baseball bat at the beginning of the season, that they're not going to get an answer. I assume that somebody probably tried to ask that question this year.
Yeah.
Probably got shut down. But, I hope that people know they're not going to get those answers. But it's just about talking with those casts. Those casts are fun. Like, those panels, I never go into them expecting to get anything. They always end up being some of the most enjoyable panels anyway, you know?
I feel you. I don't know. It's just me venting from the past couple of years. And I'm like, and there have been a couple of times where I'm like, that's it?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on a little bit and start talking about what Warner Brothers brought with their DCU movies. Now, before we get started, let's listen to just a little bit from the Justice League trailer.
There is a stranger who comes to this village from the sea. He comes in the winter when people are hungry and brings fish. He comes on the king tide. That was last night. I believe that an enemy is coming from far away. I'm looking for warriors. This stranger. Others like him. I'm building an alliance to defend us. It's very important that I see this man. Barry Allen. Bruce Wayne.
Said that like it explains why there's a total stranger sitting in the dark in my second favorite chair.
He said he'll fight with us?
More or less.
More or more less?
Probably more or less.
He said no.
All right, that was a little bit from the Justice League trailer, which a lot of people were surprised that they, you know, had enough cut to produce that trailer, but you and I know from experience that shoot this stuff. They put it together so quickly. Like, remember when Guardians of the Galaxy showed their first footage? They had only been shooting like 4 weeks, something ridiculous, and they had cut enough just for Comic Con.
It was actually less than that, and I mean, to be fair, Justice League has been shooting a slightly longer than Guardian, so I mean, I wasn't surprised to see anything. But in regards now that you showed that trailer, of those trailers that they showed from the DCU, I would say that the Justice League one was the most underwhelming, and a lot of people probably would disagree with me. But I mean, it was nice to see the tonal shift of them taking stuff a little lighter versus what we saw in Batman versus Superman. And I mean, that was noticeable. I liked Ezra Miller's, you know, take on the Flash, even though it was a lot like what people may be familiar with the TV show in terms of like his approach, but I mean, whatever, that's fine. But yeah, I would say it was the most underwhelming and it's not, I guess the only reason why I would say that it's underwhelming is, now that we've seen something like that before with the Avengers, timing-wise, I mean, don't get me wrong, Justice League is awesome, and as I always say, I will still go to see it, and I'll still be excited to see it, but that sheen, that luster that you have of having a team-up movie has long since passed now that we've had a couple of Avengers movies already. So I thought that they needed to really and to be fair, you know, we were saying that they've only been shooting for a bit, but perhaps they needed to have some type of special sequence prepared for Comic-Con for that trailer or for the footage that they showed. Because what they showed was still, I mean, it was great. It was like, wow, yay, Justice League. But still, it was kind of underwhelming. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. I mean, like you said, this movie is you know, only just getting underway. We got well more than a year before the movie comes out. They're saving the big guns for next Comic-Con, you know, but they're saving the big guns for that. That's when we'll see probably the most extensive footage from the movie yet will come next July. Cause the movie doesn't come out until November of next year. So it got a long time. What I enjoyed about it, let me finish real quick. I'll let you jump back in. What I really enjoyed about it was watching the assemblage of the team, which to me is always the coolest part of any team movie, is when they come together It's like my favorite part of every G.I. Joe episode is when they were like putting the team together for the mission. Like, and that's the way I kind of feel about this, is watching them come together. And I appreciate the fact that it has a totally different tone. I kind of like it. I like that Zack Snyder is doing something a little bit different. And, you know, how that's going to play overall, we'll find out. Because I remember that there were massively, overwhelmingly positive responses to Batman vs. Superman the first time we saw footage from that, too. And then it ended up being underwhelming for most people. So, you know, you got to take anything you see at Comic-Con with a grain of salt. But from what I saw, I was pleasantly surprised. Go ahead with what you were going to say, Brandon.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is, with what you said about the amount of time that they've had in terms of their production, and I know we'll get into it with Marvel a little later, but there were some there was a trailer, and we'll, as I said, we'll get into it. There was a trailer that Marvel showed where there wasn't any action sequences, so to speak, but I still enjoyed it actually more than Justice League. So I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just in terms of the approach or how it was cut together, but it just wasn't that exciting for me. So I don't know.
What did you think about how the movie not in terms of how the trailer was cut, but in terms of how the movie looks? Talk about what you think about The Flash, his costume, which I think is going to be a topic of discussion for some people. What did you think of Ray Fisher as Cyborg? What did you think about all that stuff?
Okay, so maybe in the context of the movie for The Flash, it'll look a lot better, but just in the brief moments that I saw, it looked kind of Power Rangers to me.
It looks, and I think this is for a reason. I think it looks cobbled together for a reason, but, you know, but for me, every time I look at something like this and it looks a little bit disappointing, I think about how Apocalypse looked when they first showed us that the X-Men Apocalypse stuff, and I insisted, like, it's not going to look like that in the end, y'all. You know, it's like, relax, it's not going to look like that in the end, and it didn't. Maybe that'll be the same thing for The Flash.
So, I mean, in the context of you know, what they showed is still early, just like you said, so I'm still going to have an open mind. A good example of that would be the backlash that X-Men was getting, X-Men Days of Future Past was getting for Quicksilver, but, you know, lo and behold, he ended up becoming one of the breakout characters of that film, despite all the, you know, backlash of the way his costume looks. So again, like in because of the setting of the film, it would make sense that he would look that way. So again, in the context of the movie, perhaps it works. Maybe there's some way in which the suit works that it looks that way. So I'm still going to have an open mind, but just at face value right now, I'm not feeling it.
Now, I was watching a little bit of the panel that they had available online, and this sounded like Zack Snyder got booed when he got introduced. Am I wrong, or is that true?
It was. I would say it was mixed. You had people that were cheering, but I did notice that there were some boos in there.
That sucks, man. That guy doesn't deserve to get booed.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Oh, man. All right, so another trail that Warner Brothers. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like Zack Snyder. I mean, there are movies that he's done that have been, like, terrific. I love 300. As mixed feelings that people have about Watchmen, I enjoy Watchmen. So, I don't know. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, he can kind of change minds with this film. So, we'll see.
When I take Zack Snyder's filmography into account, he's made more movies that I like than don't. I love Dawn of the Dead. I even like Legend of the Guardians. Now I love Watchmen. I'm a big fan of Man of Steel, even though a lot of people have issues with the end. I actually like Man of Steel. And I enjoy Batman vs. Superman, even though I acknowledge its problems. Sucker Punch, I watched it again a few weeks ago, and it's not very good. But I know what he was trying to do with Sucker Punch. And I think that's probably his least successful movie, Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's because he also wrote it. which the script is the problem, not anything else. Not anything he did with his direction. The screenplay is atrocious. And I think that's the one time where he tried to write the movie himself, and it was like, that was a bad idea. He should have gave it to somebody else. But overall, I like him. I know he doesn't deserve to get through. Another trailer that they debuted was the anticipated Wonder Woman trailer with Gal Gadot. Let's listen to just a little bit of that before we get into it.
You're a man.
Yeah. I mean, does that look right, Tom?
You have been my greatest love. Be careful, Diana. I do not deserve you.
Have you never met a man before? I mean, what about your father?
I had no father. I was brought to life by you.
Well, that's neat.
All right. The total pig in me wonders what it would be like to be Wonder Woman's first guy that she's been with. But that's just the total pig in me, and I'll have to take that back. Yeah, it's too late now. That was the trailer. that was the trailer for Wonder Woman, and I think this probably had the most overwhelmingly positive response of anything that I heard from, at least on our site anyway. Most people were really, really enthusiastic about Wonder Woman, starting from the poster they released the day before and this trailer now. I watched the trailer, and the thing that I really dug about it was the time period setting. Normally, I don't like movies that take place during wartime like that, but usually it's World War II.
Right.
I think the fact that this one is set during World War I has given it a totally different feel. But I'm really, really looking forward to this now, and I think anybody who was worried about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman could probably just relax. This movie looks terrific to me. What did you think about it? First of all, what was the reaction to it from the crowd there in Hall H?
Oh, the reaction to this film was insane. And of those films that we were given trailers for, I mean, this was at the top of my list out of the DCU. From Batman v Superman, in my opinion, there was nowhere for Wonder Woman to go but up. For me, like, Wonder Woman, even though it felt kind of tacked on towards the end, despite that, it was one of the things that worked with that film outside of, Ben Affleck, of course.
So she was arguably the best part of Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see, what all the hoopla was about, because, I mean, even as they were shooting Batman, even as he had, like, the publicity train of Batman v. Superman happening, and she was, Gal Gadot was doing Wonder Woman, there was a lot of buzz that the movie was going to be awesome, so it was nice to see this footage, basically confirm that fact, that it appears is going to be pretty awesome.
I'm sure that everybody came out, Patty Jenkins, the director, Chris Pine, and everybody else. Were there any highlights from the panel that you picked up on, that you remember?
I know that there was a lot of talk from Patty trying to find someone who would be a viable partner for Wonder Woman. And I know she was talking about she looked for a long time for that person who is not just going to be a love interest, but someone who is going to be more than that, who could act as an equal. So I mean, from what I saw in the trailer, Chris Pine seems to be up to that duty. I mean, still we'll have to see the film to know for sure, but it appears that they are, you know, partners versus, you know, her being this goddess, so to speak, versus him just being a regular old, you know, human being. Because, I mean, let's be honest, at the end of the day with DC Comics, a lot of these characters, unlike Marvel, are basically deities because they're, in right. terms of their abilities and their powers, they're basically gods. So, you know, there has to be some type of way to make them relatable and then to still make it grounded in some type of way. So.
Right, and it probably goes more for Wonder Woman than almost anybody, even though there are literal gods that are running around the DCU. You know, she is, you know, she is so isolated from everybody else that she might as well be a god anyway. You're right about that. But I still have my issues with Chris Pine as Steve Trevor, but that's because I think Chris Pine is boring as shit. So that's why I still have issues with it. But I'm willing to look past it if he turns out to be any good. He was better in the most recent Star Trek movies. He didn't put me to sleep in that, so I'll be optimistic this time. But you know, Chris Pine, not my favorite.
What's the exact beef with the particular movie? Because I mean, I've in the films that he's done so far,
I've found him boring in almost everything he's ever done. Whether it's not Zeke Zachariah, he's actually really good, Zeke Zachariah. The Finest Hours, or Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, or oh god, this Means War. Jesus, there was one other movie that he was just atrocious in that I can't remember. Unstoppable with Denzel Washington. Those are the four main movies where I'm like, Jesus Christ, this dude. He just puts me to freaking sleep. He's not terrible in everything. Like I said, he's good in Zeke Zachariah. He's good in Horrible Bosses too. He's great in Stretch. He's got his talents. But every time there are times where I just find him really, really bland. And I'm hoping that's not the case for Wonder Woman. That's all.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. So I know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Chris Pine, S.G. Trevor, he signed the multi-picture deal, so he's going to be around for a while anyway. What I'm curious about is what they'll do with the Steve Trevor character following this. Because I don't think all the movies are going to be set during World War II. And Steve Trevor, at this point, he should be like 90 years old if they come into the movies. So I'm curious how they're going to do it. Unless he falls into a block of ice. And gets reawakened.
Oh my god, that's not. Please don't do that, DC. Please don't do that.
It'd be kind of funny if you did that. They did do some shit like that, though. What else happened? What else happened at the Warner Brothers panel, the DC panel? They dropped, I think, what is the 50th trailer for Suicide Squad. It's give or take one or two, the 50th trailer of Suicide Squad. Was there anything about Suicide Squad that you did not know that emerged from Comic-Con? Because frankly, I feel like I know everything about that damn movie already.
I know everything. To be honest with you, with you saying that there have been like 50 trailers, and I'm aware that there have been, I've kind of been picking and choosing like what things I've seen, because I don't want to fall into that camp of seeing like every single clip and seeing every single trailer, and then basically once I see the movie not really being surprised or shocked anyway. So at the end of the day, the trailer that they show was basically a plug for their soundtrack, which, don't get me wrong, I like a lot of the songs in that soundtrack. You know, I dig a lot of those songs. I already have them on my playlist, believe it or not. But in terms of their approach or their strategy with the film, I feel that it was the wrong one. At this point, if you're 2 weeks out from your film, unless you're really scared about any like negative backlash with critics or anything, you should have done a screening and not a panel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because at
I totally agree.
This point, Yeah, you're closer to the release, and the best publicity would just be good word of mouth versus showing another trailer. Because, at this, I mean, what is another trailer going to do other than either further convince people that were already going to see it to see it, or basically discourage people who were planning on seeing it because you're showing too much to not go see it?
At that point, you're in Hall H. You're already speaking to the choir. Those people are going to go see it anyway. Anybody who's
people
in Hall H is already going to go see Suicide Squad. There is really no point in showing a trailer.
People already saw the trailer that was shown last year. So why do you need to have another panel
right.
and show another trailer? People already sold on what you showed
exactly.
last year. All you need to do was a screening,
exactly.
in my opinion.
They really did. They probably didn't need to have Suicide Squad there at all. To be honest, they probably could have, given Fantastic Beasts Where to Find Them some extra time or something, rather than have another Suicide Squad panel. So, but yeah, I'm as much as I'm eager for that movie, I do worry that I've seen so much of it already that I'm not going to be that a lot of it's not going to have any impact for me, and that's troublesome. But then again, I remember thinking the same thing about Deadpool, where they dropped a lot of stuff. And but it all tended to be from that same sort of like one or two scenes. So when you saw the movie, there was still plenty left you didn't know.
I was going to say Deadpool is a little different though, because yeah, I mean they showed some stuff, but Deadpool was a little more creative in that they had PR campaigns for things outside the movie. I think like at some point they were promoting
right.
like the Testicular Cancer. Like, they were promoting, like, all these different things.
Yeah.
You had that Halloween video. I mean, they were thinking outside the box. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. There was a crap ton of PR and publicity for that film, but not all of it was the movie. They tried to do some other things
yeah.
outside the movie where you still kept the movie on your radar, but it wasn't, like, spoiling the movie.
True. Good point. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what you saw at the Marvel panel. So stick around, everybody. We will get back to you on the other side.
Photo, we should introduce the newest member of the Marvel family. The newest person joining us, Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson. Can we get the picture?
All right, and we're back. That was a little bit from the Marvel panel at San Diego Comic-Con, where Kevin Feige introduced Brie Larson as Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel. Marvel's first female-led superhero film after all this damn time. I can't believe they let Warner Brothers get the jump on them on this. It's a little bit crazy to me. Brandon, the Captain Marvel news probably encapsulates my overall feelings about how Comic-Con was. And granted, I wasn't there this year, so maybe it's why I feel this way. But I feel like, I feel like this was a little bit underwhelming overall, the Comic-Con experience, because almost everything that was broken at Comic-Con, we already kind of knew. Like, the Brie Larson thing has been out there for months. So it wasn't that. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I have to write this post now confirming for, I think, the third time that Brie Larson is Captain Marvel. But that's the way it kind of felt for me. Do you agree with that?
In that regard, I do. But you know, as I said, there were a couple of other confirmations that they gave during their slate. Where I mean, we were aware. I mean, we're because we're in the industry, because so we keep track of those things. But still, even with that said, there were a couple of things that were confirmed where it was still nice to get that confirmation, minus Brie Larson, because at that point it was pretty much all but confirmed, and it was just basically like, oh yeah, right, yeah, we knew that once we got the confirmation with her, which she was the one that was to everyone pretty much known that it was a given.
So, talk to me a little bit. What do you think about the casting of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel? Because I don't think I've ever asked you about it. Do you think it's a good choice?
Well, I know for the longest time, and I'm brain farting right now, but I know a lot of people were kind of campaigning a long time for, where is it from, Battlestar Galactica?
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, Katie Sackhoff. I know a long time people were like campaigning for her to have that role, but I mean, hey, if you can get someone like Brie Larson with that type of talent, then by all means, go for it. I'm not mad at you for going after talent. I mean, the action bits and all of that, that's something that can be, you know, taught and you can learn. But acting, you know, if you have the ability and the talent for it, a lot of times that's just something that's just a, you know, God-given talent. You just something that you just have. So more power to her for being able to go out for the top talent out there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same mind. I mean, when I thought about it, the first time the news, you know, first time we heard that she was rumored for the role, I was like, nobody loves Brie Larson as much as me. I've liked her in everything she's ever done for a long time. I think she's a terrific actress. But when I think of Carol Danvers, did I necessarily see Brie Larson? I was like, not really. I don't. I think of, you know, Carol Danvers as you know, really, really strong, like physically strong, and not just emotional, but physically strong. That's the way I think of her. So, and that's not the first thing that pops in my mind when I think of Brie Larson, but but what Brie Larson is really good at portraying is emotionally strong, and as we saw in Room and numerous other things she's done. So I think in that regard, she's going to be a great choice. The action stuff, most of that shit's going to be CGI anyway, so who cares? Anybody could do it. But in terms of, you know, capturing the quieter moments, she should be fantastic in the role. So we'll see. Now, you said there was some other stuff that came down the pipe for Marvel. Tell me a little bit about what they did with Thor Ragnarok, because we got nothing from Thor Ragnarok other than, you know, the stuff like the Planet Hulk armor and weapons that were revealed and things like that. So we know there's a Planet Hulk element to the story. We already knew that too, but this confirms it. But talk to me about a little bit about what they did in Hall H for Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, so basically what they did was, and it's kind of similar to what happened with Black Panther, but I'm sure we'll get to that. So they talked about a lot of the things that we already know about that they're in the process of shooting it. Apparently, they had just started shooting it, and I know even during the Star Trek premiere that Paul Urban was stating that, like, once he left Comic Con, that he was going to go to set to actually shoot the bits that he had for Thor 3. So, they've just started shooting it. They showed some motion capture concept art of Thor and just like you said, the gladiator armor Hulk, like going head to head, about to collide with one another, and then they had like a quick cut. They showed it looked like I'm trying to think of the name of that, and again I'm brain farting again, the name of the villain of that planet. Not that planet, but that realm, I guess, Ragnarok I believe the name is Surtur for the demon. I think from what I saw, it looks like they were showing a picture of Hulk actually taking on Surtur, like a small Hulk jumped in the air and basically about to like attack like this huge, the huge, you know, character Surtur. So, and then they part with death. And a lot of people know this because she's actually happens to be Loki's daughter, Helena.
Okay.
So I'm trying to make sure that I'm getting the names right. Is that her name? I know I'm brain farting on it right now in terms of like the Thor.
Which character?
So Loki's daughter.
Loki's daughter?
Yeah. Who's in charge of Hel?
Oh, Hela?
Leads him. Hela, thank you. I knew I was getting
Hela?
Brain fart on it. Hela, yes.
Okay. Kate Blanchett's character.
Yeah, they showed some concept art with that as well. And then I'm thinking about it. They did show some brief glimpses of some of the characters on set, but it was basically some nameless races that they were showing on set doing a lot of these like action poses or what have you. So it was something that was very minimal. I think the most that people really got excited about was just the confirmation of what we knew about Hulk and Thor and them, the confirmation of them fighting against one another, and then the confirmation with the big bads that we'll have in the film. That was what got the most excitement.
Okay. They also revealed a new trailer for Doctor Strange, which I don't really want to talk about because for some reason I'm not excited about Doctor Strange. I don't know why. I'm just not. So I don't want to talk about that. But let's talk about Black Panther. And there were a few reveals there. We learned about Lupita Nyong'o's character. She's been playing Nakia, which I think is awesome. And Denai Gurira as Okoye, which I think is also awesome. This is going to be the most amazing cast ever, by the way, for possibly the most amazing movie ever. And Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger, which when they first said that he was involved in the movie, I said, please let him be Killmonger, because that'll be amazing. And he's Killmonger, so this movie is going to be awesome already. I don't care. I don't care what else goes on with it. They could cast every actor I hate ever into it right now, and it would probably still be awesome. But talk to me a little bit about the Black Panther panel and what was going on there.
Similar deal. You know, you had Kevin Feige introduce Ron Coogler. You know, Ron Coogler seems to be like a really humble, you know, person. He was really excited about talking about the project and what he had in store. They introduced, just like you said, they introduced a lot, each of the cast members and what role they would be playing. And you know, it's just nice to see the, you know, the excitement and the enthusiasm, not just from the director but from the actors themselves about what they were, you know, what they were going to have in store for audiences of February, which is actually still quite a ways off thanks to that Spider-Man film. So, it was definitely exciting. They didn't show any footage per se, which is, you know, to be expected. They haven't even shot anything yet, but the fact that they, you know, that everyone seems to be on the same page about making the best product possible, about making the best film possible, is exciting. So I look forward to seeing what they have put together.
I'm just excited that Marvel is making a movie for us. Last I heard, they're not allowing any white people to be in the movie or to even come see the movie. It's just going to be all, just nothing but the black people are going to be able to go see this thing. And I think that's a pretty good decision on Marvel's part, don't you?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm glad.
I'm kidding. Obviously, that's a lie. I'm kidding.
I was going to say with Killmonger, it's nice that they didn't go the route that we thought that they were going to go of getting, you know, the stereotypical villain that we expect with Black Panther. So it was nice that they decided to go that route, and they had the courage to go that route versus going, you know, the route that a lot of us were expecting based off of what we've seen in the other Marvel Universe movies. So.
Yeah, and you know, with Eric Killmonger, they could have cast that in a very different sort of way. Like, they could have gone for a totally different type of actor. Killmonger's huge in the comics. I thought they were going to go with somebody like heaven forbid Terry Crews, or heaven forbid once again Michael J. White's cool. Michael J. White, he would have been cool as Killmonger. But I was really worried about, you know, if they're going to cast Killmonger, who they would get. Michael B. Jordan was not my first thought, but I'm happy about it now. Obviously, it's an amazing choice, but they could have gone a lot of different directions with that. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. One last thing before we go. Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, we didn't get to see anything from that either, except for some concept art featuring Spidey and the Vulture, and what looked like a very tech-based costume. Talk to me a little bit about what was going on with the Spider-Man panel, and were there any highlights that you remember?
Yeah, so they, similar deal, they introduce Tom Holland to the stage. They did show a trailer. I don't know if that's going to be the eventual teaser that they release later. I know a lot of times, which, you know, what we know in going mm-hmm. to Comic-Con prior years is a lot of times that whatever they show at Comic-Con, they'll edit it slightly differently, but overall it's basically the same trailer that we saw at Comic-Con. So I don't know if that will end up being the teaser eventually. But just like, you know, what we've been hearing in terms of rumors of the tone of it being kind of like a John Hughes type of film, I definitely got that type of vibe from what they showed. It didn't have any action scenes per se. It basically, if you didn't know it was a superhero film, you would think that it was like one of those teen films from the 80s in terms of their tone. And nice. Even in terms of how it was put together with the humor and his interaction with his classmates, with his friends, with the faculty, that sort of deal. As I say, it was very effective. I love the tone. I love the humor of it. So if that's what they're going for, then I think they're definitely on the right track, because the acting is just going to be gravy. But if you can get the story right, and you can get the tone right, then I mean that's going to be half the battle right there.
What do you think of Tony Revolori playing Flash Thompson? That was some of the news that came out from that panel. What do you think about that? Interesting choice.
It's an interesting choice. I'll be honest with you. At the end of the day, I really don't care about Flash Thompson. So if he's, as long as he is not,
he might become Venom someday.
I know. In terms of what they go with, in terms of, like, I would say the storyline that they go with, because I mean there are other iterations with Venom too. So if they decide to go that route, then great. You know, I just want to see, you know, more footage of it, because from what I recall from the footage that they showed, I didn't see anything with Flash Thompson. Unless it was really a quick flash that they showed it, I don't recall seeing him. So it would still have to be something where it's like a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah. Did you happen to see Batman the Killing Joke? Did you watch it? Have you seen it yet?
I unfortunately didn't. I'll be honest with you. I was shallow and went to a party. I went to a yacht party. So I took the yacht party over the Batman Killing Joke. As much as I wanted to see it.
You didn't miss anything, so that's okay. All right.
I did speak with the cast and the director. So I mean, I do have an idea of what the controversy or what people hated about it, because I remember them talking about it during our interview together. I know that they were saying of trying to stretch that story, so they, you know, put in this whole prologue with with other characters to kind of flesh the story out. So I know a lot of people hated that portion of it.
Yes. That is a big reason why it sucks. But it's that prologue doesn't amount to anything. That's why it sucks. If it had some sort of ramifications on what happens later, then it would be fine. But all it actually serves to do is make Batman look like a dick, and to make Batgirl look like a victim. That's really all it does. It doesn't serve to do anything else. But I was just curious if you had checked that or not. But that's okay. All right. So, I feel like I was there at Comic-Con now, and maybe I don't need to go anymore. I'll just have you come on the show. I'll have you come on the show a couple days after and tell me everything that happened, and I won't have to go anymore. I can save myself a lot of money and get myself a lot more sleep. So, yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. Okay. No, but Brandon, thanks for coming on, man. Tell everybody where they can find your stuff, man.
All right, man. So you guys can find me on Twitter at Brandon Troy RFN. Real Film News, the website Real Film News 2 E's, so RealFilmNews.com. You can like us on Facebook, and actually, if you are going to be coming to some of the other conventions this year, I will be moderating a couple of panels at SpartaCon, so I hope to see you there. I can now confirm that. So hopefully some of you guys are going to be checking that out, and then actually we'll be at Baltimore Comic Con. So hopefully I'll see you guys there. If I run into you, if you run into me, just give me a shout out. You know, say hi, what's up, we'll chat, whatever. But other than that, yeah, those are. Oh, and lastly, another announcement I can make is that there is another side project that I'm in the process of working on that will be on television. Be on the lookout, because we will be doing a Kickstarter for it very soon. So be on the lookout for that as well.
All right, my man. Well, yes. Thank you for coming on. It was great having you. And yeah.
All right, as always, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh no, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate having you on. We'll have you on again soon. Okay.
All right. Later.
All right, man. Thanks. All right, that was Brandon Troy from Real Film News. Keep an eye out for all those projects he was talking about. And yeah, I feel like I was at Comic-Con now, so I don't need to go. That's going to save me a lot of money and a lot of headaches. Anyway, thanks a lot for tuning in to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hodgson. You can find me every day at PunchDrunkCritics.com and, of course, on Thursdays and on WBAL Morning News. On our next show, we're going to be talking about what else? Suicide Squad, yes. And keep an eye out for my upcoming interview with Logan Lerman and director James Sheamus for the new movie Indignation, okay? Keep an eye out for that. It'll be right here on Cinema Royale. I will talk to you all later. Goodbye.